27, I think it was, something like that. Bonnie says 24. I can't keep track of time. But regardless of the amount of time that he has served, he needs our prayers because he is to deliver the message that God has intended for you. And he can deliver that message, but if your ears aren't open, no one has gained. And so let's open our ears and listen to those things that he has for us in store. Brother Alvin.
Thank you, Jim. Good morning. Well, the title of my sermon this morning has changed. It's going to be faith. I prepared a sermon, and maybe one of these days I'll give it to you. But when I got up this morning, it was clear that wasn't what I was supposed to talk on. So I'm going to read from Matthew, the chapter 21st verse. And it says, "Verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree." You'll remember that Christ withered the fig tree to show his disciples. "And if you shall say unto the mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive." And following that, I'd like to bear a couple testimonies. Some of you took part in one of these testimonies. A couple weeks ago, we had a camp out. The local had a camp out over at Knob Noster. And I don't know if you remember that weekend or not. It would depend on whether you were there or here, I suppose, whether it made an impression. I was here. And that Sunday morning, it rained. It really came down. Do you remember that? Saturday night. It was a gully whoosher, as we used to say. And we all prayed that you at the camp would have nice weather. And I'm sure you prayed for that. And I had faith in the Lord that he'd do that for you. So I called Dan Sunday night and said, "How'd it go?" He said, "Beautiful. Great weather. Sunshine." Well, I looked at the weather map, and it was solid from here to Sedalia. But there must have been a little hole there right over the camp, because you didn't get it. So I said, "Well, you better batten down the hatches, Dan, because it's going to really pour tonight." And that was Sunday night. And he was going to stay over and come home on Monday, not move the trailer till Monday morning. And Sunday night, sure enough, they got it. It just poured. Talked to him Monday morning, and he said, "Boy," he said, "it really rattled our cage." Now, some of you are going to say, "Well, that's coincidence, and that can happen." I want to tell you of another situation. A few weeks ago, there were a group of us fellas from the local here who decided to take a fishing trip. And we were going to go down to Cassville and catch some trout. And so the night before we were to leave, I checked the 7-day forecast, and it was rain solid for the whole week. So we got up the next morning. It was pretty nice. And I picked up Glenn and Jesse, and the other guys were to meet us down there, and we headed out. Beautiful weather. We got down there on Friday. We had a good time on Saturday. Got up Sunday morning. The forecast had been rain solid for the Cassville area, and they had said, in fact, severe storms, and on one of those days, Saturday or Sunday, somebody was going to get 4 inches of rain. We got up Sunday morning. Beautiful. But you know what we did? I've got to tell you. Before we left home, we agreed that because we were going to be gone the weekend and over Sunday, that we'd stop fishing and we'd have a service on Sunday morning. And Glenn said he'd be the pianist. He brought his guitar and he brought some music. We didn't just say a prayer or two. We stopped our fishing. We had a full service. We had an opening song, an opening prayer, closing song, closing prayer. We had a study. And then some of the guys had to return to come home Monday to go back to work. So we went into town to a little restaurant and had dinner with them and wished them well and a safe journey home. They got home and we went back to the cabin. Just beautiful. Then Glenn and Jesse and I got up Monday morning. Guess what? It was raining. We headed home in the rain. It didn't rain long or hard. But you know, we noticed that as we drove along and we crossed all the little creeks and the rivers, they were bank full. There were places around Cassville where there was flooding. Somebody got that 4 inches of rain. The fields were full of water. But we didn't see a drop that weekend. And I think when you have faith and you do like we did, I'll use us as an example. Give the Lord some time, which we did Sunday morning, that he'll bless you. Or at least we think so. Now you're going to think I'm digressing a little, but I thought maybe Gary was trying to shorten my sermon this morning by reading the title of Liberty. But I'm going to read it again, Gary. Because not only is it a theme for this weekend, Memorial Day, as we remember those that are in the service of our country and those that have been in the past, and there are a number in this group that have been, but it's a demonstration of faith, which is the subject of my sermon. In all things, if you believe, have faith, it'll happen. And so, from the Book of Mormon, I'm going to read about the title of Liberty, verse 40. In the 21st chapter of Alma, it says, "And now it came to pass that when Moroni, who was the commander of the armies of the Nephites, had heard of these dissensions, he was angry with Amalickiah." He was the king that wasn't producing help for the army. "And it came to pass that he rent his coat, and he took a piece thereof and wrote upon it, in memory of our God, our religion, and freedom, and our peace, our wives, our children, and he fastened it upon the end of a pole. And he fastened on his headplate and his breastplate and his shield and girded on his armor about his loins, and he took the pole which had the end thereof his rent coat, and he called it the title of Liberty." And remember, that reminds me of the stories of the Revolutionary War. And before we had this flag, Patrick Henry, remember that? He had a flag that was green background. It had a yellow snake on it, and it said, "Don't tread on me." And he made a speech something like that. Title of Liberty. But when you do that, and if you go forth into battle or whatever your cause might be, you have to have faith. What I read about there in Matthew 21. Now, the other story which I wanted to read to you this morning involves a lot of faith. And I wasn't real sure where it began because it is through several pages of the Book of Mormon. So I had to ask Debbie where it started. And she gave me the clue, and we found it. So if anybody wants to follow along with me, I'm going to go to the 501st page in the Book of Mormon. It's the last of the 24th chapter of Alma. And this is a story of a people, the people of Ammon. And it says, "And now behold, I have somewhat to say concerning the people of Ammon, who in the beginning were Lamanites. But by Ammon and his brethren, or rather by the power of the work of God, they had converted unto the Lord." Now, it's important that you know what that caused to be done. "And they had been brought down into the land of Zarahemla, and ever since had been protected by the Nephites." You see, they were being protected because they had decided it wasn't good to war. "And because of their oath, they had kept from taking up arms against their brother. As I remember the story further back here, they buried them, the weapons. They said, we're never going to take up arms again. That was an oath. Well, you have a problem then. What happens when you get attacked? Well, the Nephites were protecting them. And for this cause, they were brought down into the land of Zarahemla, and they ever had been protected by the Nephites. Now I'm going to go, maybe I'll just keep reading there and go right on over onto 502. But it came to pass that when they saw the danger and many afflictions and tribulations which the Nephites bore for them, they were moved with compassion and were desirous to take up arms in defense of their country. For behold, as they were about to take up their weapons of war, they were overpowered by the persuasions of Helaman and his brethren, for they were about to break the oath which they had made. So here's a situation where they've had faith in the Lord. They're being protected by the Nephites, but they can see that war is up on them and it's going to be tough on the Nephites, so they ought to go help them. But if they do, they break their oath with God. And Helaman feared lest by so doing they should lose their souls. Therefore, all of those who had entered into this covenant were compelled to behold their brethren wade through their afflictions in their dangerous circumstances at this time. But a ray of light. Behold, it came to pass that many had sons who had not entered into this covenant. They were too young a speck. They hadn't entered into the oath that their parents had made. They said they didn't say or make an oath that they would not take up weapons of war to defend themselves. Therefore, they did assemble themselves together at this time, as many as were able to take up arms, and they called themselves Nephites. Now see, they'd been Lamanites, but they converted. And actually, I'm reading to the choir this morning, probably. How many times has this been used in sermons? And you all know this story. But maybe I can give you a little different slant. And they entered into a covenant to fight for liberty of the Nephites, yea, to protect the land unto the laying down of their lives. Yea, even they covenanted that they never would give up their liberty. Sort of like Moroni and his title of liberty. But they would fight in all cases to protect the Nephites and themselves from bondage. Now behold, there were 2,000 of those young men who entered into this covenant and took the weapons of war to defend their country. You know the story of the 2,000 young men. Well, it goes on over onto page 509. And in chapter 6, 26, starting with verse 3. On page 509, it says, behold, 2,000 of the sons of those men whom Ammon brought down out of the land of Nephi. Now you have known that these were the descendants of Laman, who was the eldest son of our father Lehi. Now I need not rehearse unto you something concerning the traditions or their unbelief, for thou knowest concerning all these things. Therefore it supposeth me that I did tell you that 2,000 of these young men have taken their weapons of war, and would that they should be their leader. And we have come forth to defend our country. And now you know, concerning the covenant which their fathers made, that they would not take up their weapons of war against their brethren to shed blood. But in the 26th year, when they saw our afflictions and our tribulations for them, they were about to break the covenant which they had made and take up their weapons of war. But I would not suffer them that they should break this covenant, that's Helaman speaking, which they had made, supposing that God would strengthen us, insomuch that we should not suffer more because of the fulfilling of the oath which they had taken. But behold, here is one thing in which we may have great joy. For behold, in the 26th year, I, Helaman, did march at the head of these 2,000 young men to the city of Judea to assist Antipas, whom you have appointed a leader over the people and that part of the land. So they're going off to war. I suspect that the faith that they had to show was great. But to show you how that faith works, I'm going to go to page 511 to continue the story and drop down to verse 28. Neither durst they march down against the city of Zarahemla, neither durst they cross the head of Sidon over to the city of Nephiha, and thus with their forces they were determined to maintain those cities which they had taken. And now it came to pass in the second month of this year, there was brought unto us many provisions from the fathers of those my 2,000 sons. Now see, the king, Amalickiah, he was supposed to support the army, but he was being a middleman, playing both ends against the middle, and he refused to support them. So he was going to war in token only. But the fathers of these 2,000 young men, they brought the provisions down to supply to the army and for their sons. And also there was sent 2,000 men unto us from the land of Zarahemla. And thus we were prepared with 10,000 men and provisions for them and also for their wives and their children. So by keeping their oath, by the sons volunteering, by the fathers bringing down the provisions and supporting them when the king wouldn't, exercising their faith, God is with them. And so far, it's working out. Now, if we go to page 513. I'm going to start with verse 50 on page 513. And it came to pass that again when the light of the morning came, we saw the Lamanites upon us, and we did flee before them. But it came to pass that they did not pursue us far before they halted, and it was in the morning of the third day on the seventh month. Now whether they were overtaken by Antipas, we knew not. But I said unto my men, behold, we know not, but they have halted for the purpose that we should come against them, and they might catch us in their snare. Therefore, what say ye, my sons? Will you go against them to battle? Now I say unto you, my beloved brother Moroni, that never had I seen so great courage, nay, not amongst all the Nephites, for as I had ever called them my sons, for they were all very young men, even so they said unto me, Father, behold, our God is with us. They had faith. And he will not suffer that we shall fall. Then let us go forth. We would not slay our brethren if they would let us alone. Therefore, let us go, lest they should overpower the army of Antipas. In other words, they're fighting not aggressively, but in defense, the proper posture. Now, they never had fought, yet they did not fear death. Why? Their faith. And they did think more upon the liberty of their fathers than they did upon their lives. Yea, they had been taught by their mothers. And this reading, by the way, was used in a sermon just, was it last week, Jim, or the week before, I think, talking for Mother's Day.
I wasn't here.
Oh, you weren't here. Okay. That was whoever gave the Mother's Day sermon used this. So you're going to hear it again. Then they did, upon their lives, yea, they had been taught by their mothers, that if they did not doubt, that God would deliver them. You know, that's a good example for us today. When things are going badly and the price of gas is out of sight and the economy is down and we're not sure if we're going to keep our jobs or not, but can we have faith? Can we pray to God and know that He's going to be there to help us no matter what happens? And that He'll find a way, as it says in the scripture, to escape. Yeah, they'd been taught by their mothers, and they didn't doubt that God would deliver them. And they rehearsed unto me the words of their mother, saying, "We do not doubt our mothers knew." And it came to pass that I did return with my 2,000 against these Lamanites who had pursued us. I'm going to drop down to verse 64 on page 514. "And that came to pass that we, the people of Nephi, the people of Anubis, and I with my 2,000 did surround the Lamanites and did slay them. Yea, insomuch that they were compelled to deliver up their weapons of war and also themselves as prisoners of war. And that came to pass that when they had surrendered themselves unto me, behold, I numbered those young men who had fought with me, fearing lest there were many of them slain. But behold, to my great joy, they had not one soul of them fallen to the earth. Yea, and they had fought as with the strength of God. Yea, never were men known to have fought with such miraculous strength. And with such mighty power did they fall upon the Lamanites that they did frighten them, and for this cause did the Lamanites deliver themselves up as prisoners of war." I want to go on over to page, I think we'll start on 517. They entered another battle. And at verse 95 on 517, "And as the remainder of our army were about to give way before the Lamanites, behold, those 2,060 were firm and undented." Somewhere they picked up 60 souls. They not only didn't lose any of their 2,000, but they got a few more volunteers. "Yea, and they did obey and observe to perform every word of command with exactness. Yea, and even according to their faith, it was done unto them. And I did remember the words which they said unto me that their mothers had taught them." They were taught to have faith. The story goes on, that was not the end of their wars, but my point was to show you the faith and conviction on what can happen with those who put themselves in God's hands and believe. Now I want to go to the book of Moroni. It's on page 766. And I'm going to start with verse 33. And this section of chapter 7 of Moroni has been used in I don't know how many sermons. And once again, you are going to know the story before I start. I'm going to read it anyway. Beginning with 33, speaking of the ministry of angels unto men. He says, "And by so doing, the Lord God prepareth the way that the residue of men may have faith in Christ, that the Holy Ghost may have place in their hearts according to the power thereof. And after this manner bringeth to pass the Father the covenants which he hath made unto the children of men. And Christ hath said, If you will have faith in me, you shall have power to do whatsoever thing is expedient in me. And hath said, Repent of you, all you ends of the earth, and come unto me and be baptized in my name, and have faith in me that you may be saved. Now, my beloved brethren, if this be the case, that these things are true, which I have spoken unto you, and God will show unto you with power and great glory at the last day that they are true, and if they are true, has the day of miracles ceased? Or angels ceased to appear unto the children of men, or has he withheld the power of the Holy Ghost from them? Or will he, so long as time shall last on the earth, or the earth shall stand, there shall be one man upon the face thereof to be saved? Behold, I say unto you, nay. For it is by faith that miracles are wrought. It is by faith that angels appear and minister unto men. Wherefore, if these things have ceased, woe be unto the children of men, for it is because of unbelief. And all is vain. For no man can be saved according to the words of Christ, save they shall have faith in his name. Wherefore, if these things have ceased, then has faith ceased also? And awful is the state of men, for they are as though they had been no redemption made. But behold, brethren, I judge better things of you, for I judge that you have faith in Christ because of your meekness. For if you have not faith in him, then you are not fit to be numbered among the people of his church." And here the speaker shifts gears and goes forward, or as we know, it's faith, hope, and charity. And in verse 5, it starts in with hope. I won't read that section because my subject this morning was faith. We all have problems. We all have trials. The world is an oppression, and the things in it. It's very difficult for our young to keep themselves out of it and above the temptations. But if we read these scriptures, if we read what Christ has told us, if we have faith and we believe, whether we're going on a camp out or a fishing trip or to work or at home, school, whatever, whenever we're met by those confrontations, if we believe, if we've prayed, if we've prepared to give God a little time and go with that foreknowledge, that's what these 2,000 young men did. Said in there, they really didn't have any training at war. They weren't battle-hardened veterans. They just knew that what their mothers had taught them, they had faith that it was true. They picked up the weapons and said, "Let's go." If you'll remember, it was something like that was what the fella said on that airliner at 9/11, the one that was supposed to hit the Pentagon and didn't. Because they had courage and they had faith. Yes, they lost their lives, but they brought it down. And how many more did they save? And I have no doubt where they are today. because they gave their lives for somebody else. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. God bless you and have faith.